Today's podcast will be about Taiwan, small country south of Japan and north of the Philippines, about 25 million people. Overall, in a large way, the division of the country is between the nationalist government, which came over from China after Chiang Kai-shek lost to Mao Zedong in Big China. And so the other party is those who were not part of them, and they divide into two different parties, the green and the blue. And that's also another dividing line, because the government of Chiang Kai-shek, which at this time of this prisoner that we're going to speak about, was President Mao. The nationalists and the government of Mao favor closer relationships to China. The other party of Chen Shui-bian, the ex-president of Taiwan, were not for getting close to China. And that's the big division in the country. There are other divisions, but that's one of the primary ones. Anyway, there's a professor, Jay Tu, down in North Carolina State, and he kept calling me. And I'd put him off and, you know, ask him, what is this about? He says, it's about the ex-president, Chen Shui-bian. They're trying to kill him in jail. And I said, why is he there? And he's for corruption. I said, well, I don't do corruption work. You know, I'm a human rights activist. We generally work with the innocent. And he said, no, he is innocent. They just ran trials against him that weren't fair. And I want to get him out because I think they're using the jail to kill him. But I kept sending him to other human rights groups, and eventually my partner, Farrell Gary, heard me discussing this, and I told her about it. And she said, look, that gentleman really respects the ex-president that much. I think you ought to look into it. I think he's probably telling the truth, because this is how the country's divided, because I think Chen Shui-bian was the first president of those who were, you know, not the Chiang Kai-shek people to run the country, and he ruled for 8 years. So I said, okay, I'd look into it more. And so began this effort to free Chen Shui-bian, and discovered he was in a small cell with another person, and all the paperwork that he had in order to protect himself in the legal case. And the light was kept on all the time, and his above him. This was disconcerting because, you know, most countries treat their ex-presidents pretty well. I mean, they give them golden, you know, palaces to live in while they're in jail, or they, you know, they treat them reasonably fairly because, you know, having been a president, you represent the nation. Whether you're dead or alive, you still represent the nation. And Chen Shui-bian certainly represented the Taiwanese who were born there, as opposed to the Chiang Kai-shek people. He certainly did not want to get closer to China. And the Mao government, which had put him in jail and used the Ministry of Justice to put him there, favored closer relationships to China. So it's a pretty important case, and historically important to both these groups who now live there. Also, in the takeover of Chiang Kai-shek's people over Taiwan, mainly in the urban areas, but they killed a lot of people, primarily the intellectuals who were living there. So there is this bad blood in the past that's never really been apologized for. And so that's another sort of backdrop story. Anyway, I decided to start digging into this. And one of the first things I did was ask a couple of my friends from the Human Rights Movement to go to Taiwan, and the Human Rights Action Center sent them. And we wanted to my friends, take a look at him up close, talk to him, see how he's doing, you know, look at the jail, see what the situation is, you know, start evaluating him. So they did that, and they did some media work while they were there as well, and they were treated pretty well. And so we kept going, interest in Chen Shui-bian, and I thought, well, they can't kill him in jail. They're not allowed to do that. So I'm going to take this case up, regardless of why he's in jail, which is basically the Mao government said he's corrupt and they ran some cases against him. But I looked over, as well as my partner looked over, Farrell Gary, who's a Georgetown lawyer, looked over the case, and she said it's suspicious from many points of view. So we got more interested as time went on. Then the only thing I could really do, beyond sending a couple of people there who reported back that, in fact, Chen Shui-bian was being killed in jail. That was their opinion, and they were pretty clear about it. So there was a medical team that went from the United States to look after him. There's a small group in L.A. that I met with who supported him as well and wanted him out of jail. And, of course, J2 regularly, who would translate many of the blogs that I would write in support of Chen Shui-bian. And there was a small group of people in Taipei, as well as L.A., and, of course, Jay. Hopefully we could work on this. So we also asked Doug Busby, who's a filmmaker in L.A., to do a documentary just on this case of Chen Shui-bian. So he did, and that worked pretty well, too. And that got some publicity and media coverage, too. So we're starting to build it. And as the country is going forward, there's an election coming up again against President Ma, which was eventually won by Chen Shui-bian's party, the Green Party. And so this was helpful, too, because it was given a climate of perhaps change coming away from the Chiang Kai-shek people more to the Green Party, away from the blue to the green. And so I start writing blogs as best I could from as much information I could give or find about it all. I met with his lawyer, met with a local group that worked in Taiwan regularly. But essentially, really what we tried to do was bring as much pressure as we could to this case. In the beginning, even his own party had failed him, I think. They neglected him. I don't know whether it was a shame of the ex-president being convicted or what. But his own party had, so he was pretty alone about. And so I start writing blog after blog, and J2 and his friends in L.A. would translate those for me so we could get those into the media and get coverage in Taiwan. And I actually start, you know, getting this little name, Jack Healy, around Taiwan. It started working reasonably well. And we were trying to find a way to really to get his case reviewed legally, but more importantly, to get him into a hospital bed was our first goal. And the medical team in L.A. that came from, I think, Irvine, I forget the doctor's names, but they were quite good and very devoted. And they went over and kept checking him, pointing out, you know, medical, how he was doing, and it was pretty dire. So we kept going. And we're all pulling together. It was a good team effort. And finally, there was a power that came into us that essentially what we were dealing with, once we had him in the hospital bed, maybe we can get him home, you know, just send him home, even on a parole notice. And in fact, my last blog was translated onto national television and read on television, that released him, and he went home to his family, and he was released, and he is today a free and independent person, maybe back on parole, I don't know, but at least he's free, he's healthy again, and he's moving in his society as he should have been. And all this is just to say that you know, the love of one of his expatriates here in the United States, J2, really freed this man from a jail that was trying to kill him. Got him in a hospital bed and got him home. This was just great human rights work. And I want to thank those Taiwanese that helped in this case. And I'm certainly pleased that Chen Shui-bian is at home with his family. Thank you. Jack Healy.